Let's go to Washington now for a story about how one man tucked away in a little talked about federal agency can have a huge impact on industry and the environment. Shakeups at federal agencies are not new, but before the Trump administration, many of the people managing the Interior Department's huge portfolio had been there for decades.
Certainly, each administration makes changes, some large, some small, but I think what we're seeing now is on a different scale.
That's Adam Fetterman there. He's a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund. In The Nation magazine this week, Fetterman describes a purge at the Interior Department, quietly pushing out old leadership to usher in a new, more aggressive agenda.
They're putting in place the agenda of the Trump administration, which they've described as one of energy dominance, and they're opening up huge tracts of public land to oil and gas leasing, both on and offshore. Last week, of course, they made the big announcement about the shrinking of two national monuments in Utah. They're aggressively repealing and dismantling rules and regulations that had been put in place during the Obama administration. And quite frankly, they're putting in place what I think will be a very sort of long-lasting legacy that will redefine public lands and the conversation over public lands in this country.
Now, you talk about energy dominance and redefining the use of public lands. How are Bears Ears National Monument and Grand Staircase Escalante, which were in the news last week, including on this show, how are they examples of that?
Generally speaking, they represent the administration's attempt to open up as much of the public landscape to oil and gas development or to mining. In the case of Bears Ears, perhaps, the Washington Post reported just last week that a uranium mining company had put pressure on the administration to scale back that monument. And the administration has been very open and upfront about what their policy is. But we're seeing it, you know, well beyond Utah. Just, you know, this week there are oil and gas lease sales across the West, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and in Alaska as well. The department held a lease sale last week in the National Petroleum Reserve. And of course, in the tax overhaul, the Republicans have put in a measure that would open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. So we're seeing just sort of everything on the table, and industry will have its options to choose what it likes.
We're talking about new leadership at the Trump Interior Department. This is The Takeaway. Take just a minute here, Adam Fetterman, and remind us what the Department of Interior does. It doesn't make as much news as a lot of other departments in the government. It's not the Defense Department. It's not the State Department. But it's vast. They control a lot of American land.
They control most of the country's federal land, over 500 million acres. The U.S. Forest Service, which is part of the Department of Agriculture, oversees a very small percentage of public land. So the Department of the Interior really is the nation's landlord. They have a multi-use mandate. They have to protect the country's natural resources, its wildlife. They also have to, you know, serve the oil and gas industry to some extent.
You've drilled down into the agency and some of, frankly, the unknown people, at least unknown to most of the public, who are making this unprecedented change happen. One of the people is James Kaysen. Who is he?
Yeah, Kaysen is a little-known bureaucrat who got his start at the Bureau of Land Management, which is one of the Department of Interior's nine bureaus, in the early 1980s under James Watt, who was one of the most notorious interior secretaries in American history. And he has continued to serve under various Republican administrations at the Department of the Interior. His record remains relatively obscured by the fact that he's just never sought the limelight. In 1989, he was nominated for a position at the Department of Agriculture. During those confirmation hearings, his record was examined in great detail. And ultimately, Kaysen had to withdraw his name because he was such a controversial pick.
Well, why was he so controversial? I mean, you talk about this sort of unassuming bureaucrat who doesn't make a lot of waves when he talks to people. He's not a firebrand. But what did the Senate say about him then? And what do people say about him now?
That's one of the interesting things about Kaysen is he's a very reserved figure and doesn't come across as particularly ideologically driven. But during the 1980s under Reagan, he was at the center of a number of very controversial decisions that took place on America's public lands. He allegedly tried to suppress the publication of a Fish and Wildlife Service report on the fate of the spotted owl because he disagreed with its conclusions, which would have basically set aside large portions of old growth forest. forest in the Pacific Northwest. He pushed through rule changes that reduced royalties owed by coal companies, and he helped facilitate the transfer of land to private developers at below market value. And what's interesting, I think, is that we're seeing some of these ideas come back to the forefront at the Department of the Interior already. And I think that Kaysen has had his hands on many of those decisions in the early days of this administration.
Well, what's behind some of these actions, some of these controversial policies that you point to? What's the philosophy that James Kaysen is exercising here?
I think they want to make life easier for the oil and gas industry and for the mining industry. I mean, obviously, Trump has made a very big deal about the coal industry and bringing it back to life. Kaysen, although he may not be ideologically driven himself, you know, he has worked under individuals like James Watt and Gail Norton. And these figures have all promoted private interests over the public good.
Can you talk about some of the other policies that James Kaysen is working on? And we should point out, he's not the Secretary of the Interior. That's Ryan Zinke.
His official title is Associate Deputy Secretary, so he's essentially third in command. But, you know, one of the major tectonic shifts at the department early on was the reassignment of senior executive service employees, as they're known, the department's upper-level management, essentially. They received memos in mid-June basically telling them that they had 15 days to accept the new position or to resign. And then we've seen other indications of where the department is headed. A leaked draft of the department's five-year strategic plan made no reference to climate change. So we're seeing changes on that front. And then I would say the third major component is the rolling back of regulations and policy guidance that had been put in place during the previous administration.
Adam Fetterman is a reporting fellow at the Investigative Fund. He joined us from the studio of Middlebury College in Middlebury, Vermont. He's also author of the book Fasting and Feasting, The Life of Visionary Food Writer Patience Gray. Adam Fetterman, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.